we're going to start a little series with you, Encounters on a Friday. Today, just a little vision for where we're going and what we're doing. So looking forward to the series, but a little introduction on God's path with us. I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 13 to 16, and then we'll skip over to verse 19 and read down to verse 21. Just a little introduction, and Ash, you don't have to worry because I didn't give you this. So no mistake of yours, mine. No, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't want to read it on the screen necessarily. So Elijah had just taken care of the Baal or Baal prophets on Mount Carmel. And some of us who went to Israel actually stood on Mount Carmel. It was one of the most beautiful days we had. Sunshine just looked over the valley all over. But after this, Jezebel sends him a message and she says, I'm going to kill you because you killed my prophets. And then we read, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm not better than my ancestors. Verse 13. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Boy, I need someone to come and say those words for us. So Elijah, verse 19, went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Let me just translate this verse for you a little differently. The Hebrew is difficult. Something like this. Go ahead, said Elijah. But mind you, don't forget what I've just done to you. So Elisha left him, went back, took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So the guy dies, goes to heaven. When he gets to heaven, meets up with Peter. Peter says, before I let you in, can you tell me of anything good that you've done? He says, oh, yeah, I can tell you. He says, well, let me hear. He says, so I went to this place, and as I got there, there was this whole group of Hell's Angels hanging around there. And there was this young lady who was trying to get to a store, and they were giving her a real hard time. Oh, says Peter, so what happened? He says, well, got out of my car, and I walked right up to the leader of these Hell's Angels. And I kicked his motorcycle off its stand. I looked him right in the eye, grabbed him by his nose ring, and I said to him, if you want to get to that woman, you're going to have to go through me. Peter says, wow! What happened after this? He says, now I'm here. So I guess there's a difference between faith with knowledge and faith without knowledge. You were at the motorcycle show yesterday. I hope you didn't kick someone's bike, Steve. Faith with knowledge and faith without knowledge. Or maybe let me put it this way. I think there's a difference of living a life of faith and just trying to do good things, or living a life of faith, hearing God's call and answering God's call for what He wants you to be and to do word call or vocation is a big word in our language. It comes from the Latin word vocatio, which means a voice that calls. Here's the amazing thing. If I am prepared to listen to God's voice, if I am prepared to hear the voice, let it go in, and allow that voice to touch my life and change my life and see God's vision for my life. Boy, are we in for the ride of our lives. Are we in for the most amazing adventure that you could ever wish to go on? And when I say that, I'm not just saying this as to each one of us. I'm saying this to us as a church too. A vision that God has for us too. Not just me. My little vision I'll show you in the end comes with God's vision also for this place and for these people. But there are a few things that we always need to keep in mind when we talk about God's call or God's vision for us. When God calls, God always calls us away from something. When God calls, God always calls us for something. When God calls, God always calls us to become something. When God calls us to do something. Away from, for, to become something. Let me show you how that works. When I hear the voice, I get what God says, and I put my life in His hands. Look at Elijah and Elijah. When we find Elijah, he's in a place of brokenness. His life is incomplete. It's a mess. He just killed the prophets. Then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. He runs away, sits under this broom tree, and he's miserable. He feels all alone. Actually, if we were to kind of look at him, I think today he would be diagnosed with depression. He's socially isolated, doesn't sleep well, struggles with paranoia. Everyone is out to get me. Doesn't eat well. His energy levels are down. That's where he is. This is what he sees his life as. I'm done. Let me go to my forefathers. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm over. I'm done. What does God do? God gives a little therapy. Go read the verses I didn't read today. What does God do? He gives him food. He gives him sleep. And then God gives him a vision and a call. And he says, I got work for you. He leads him from incompleteness, from brokenness, into a moment of being whole when he hears the voice. Voice goes into the heart, and he can understand, God has a plan for my life. God is taking me somewhere in my life. When God says, go anoint all those people with the funny names that I'm not going to try to say again, because they're going to be amazingly important for the work, for my vision, for this world, for the peoples around here. Go anoint them. But most importantly, go anoint that young man called Elisha. Because I also want you to be a mentor. I don't want you to sleep under a tree. I got work for you. You're an amazing prophet. I need you to go anoint Elisha so Elisha can become Navi. He who sees God and who speaks God's word and can say, these are the words of God for you in your life. Go do that. See, God calls him away from. He's broom bush. God calls him for something. Go do my work. To become something. Be the mentor for this guy. To do something. Build my kingdom. That's how it works when God calls. And God speaks into our lives. Now Elisha, he's a different kettle of fish. We find Elisha, he's a happy camper. He's a rich boy. Dad had this huge farm. I mean, they had 12 yoke of oxen, 11 other guys plowing. He has the 12th one. Things are really good for him. Life's pretty good. All is fine. And as he's doing his job and having fun, here comes a guy called Elijah. And he does a thing that we don't get that well. They got really pretty well. Taking a mantle, putting it over him, was not saying, oh, I think you're cold. It's minus 13 out there. He's plowing. It's also not saying, well, let me cover you for the sunshine. When he takes the mantle and lays it on him, Elisha knows he's saying, this is mine, and now it's yours, and you are going to become like me. You are now going to become a prophet. And it's going, whoa. Hold on a second. I'm happy. I'm kind of cool. I know what this means, and I don't want to do this right now. Remember what I said? When God calls, he always calls me away from something. Remember, disciples? Come follow me. Leave the fish. Leave the boats. Leave the nets. Leave your family. Away from. When he calls Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's house, and go to where I want you. Follow me. But in that same moment, look at them again. When he says, let me take you away from that, he says, there's a reason. Because you're not going to be catching fish anymore. We spoke about that just the other day. I got a job for you. I want you now to go be something else. Fishers of people. I want you to do something for me. You're going to take my word and build my kingdom. When he calls Abraham, he says, go away from, but there's work for you to do. I want you to be a blessing. Because in your blessing, the peoples of the earth will be blessed. There's your vision, but your vision fits into my vision. And when those two plans come together, what an amazing plan. But Henry Nouwen says, when we answer the call, two things will happen. Two things will happen. There will be a voluntary displacement, and there will be a downward mobility. When God calls us, gives us a vision for life, he's not saying, here's the ladder of success, climb it, and you're going to hit the top. He's actually saying, come down. Come down. He's going to displace me. Can I give you the best example? When Jesus was with his father and we were all broken and lost, Father said, they're broken and lost. Go. And he left heaven and came to earth. King of kings, who holds the universe in his hand, takes those little hands and they become baby hands. They become the hands of a man that are nailed to a cross. There is an involuntary or voluntary displacement, and there is this downward mobility. God says, you got to leave that behind. God says, you got to go. And I'm saying, I really have to. And God said, get off the high horse and come down. Like Jesus was a servant for all of his people. When God calls, these two things happen in your life. And it's only when I'm prepared to be displaced out of my comfort zone, when I'm prepared to go down and look up to him, only then will God's vision take its fullness in my life and in the life of a church. Look at Elisha. Elisha's kind of, okay, this is a little lot and much for me. Can I just go kiss my mom and dad quickly? Remember what I read to you? He says, well, fine, but remember what I just did. Does this remind you of something? Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. Jesus talks about calling disciples. And he says, you want to come with me? There's no place for you to put your head because I don't have a place to sleep. And then the other man says, come with me. He says, let me go bury my mother and father first. Remember what I told you about that. It didn't mean his mom and dad just passed away. It meant that he was trying to do what the culture said in those days. You will stay with your mom and dad and care for them until they die. Then you're free to do whatever you want. So he's saying, I'm just going to stay with mom and dad until they die. And when they've died, then I'll follow you. Hang on a bit. See ya. Wait until I'm 16, Lord. No, wait until I'm 70. Or wait until I'm... The last one says... Anyone who puts his hand to the plow, kind of hits the nail on this one too, and looks back. He's not fit for the kingdom of God. For when God puts a calling, a vision onto your life, it asks a voluntary displacement and a downward mobility. I said, well, that's what God asks of us too. I mean, today is the beginning for us in a new path. It's going to take a lot for us to do this. But we'll have to give. We can't stay where we are. If Elijah stayed under that bush, Jehu would not have been king. Elisha would not have been prophet. God's work could not have been done. It's easy to say, I like this, I'm comfortable, I feel good, this is what we've done always, it's fine, I wonder. Remember my old words, we cannot become who we need to be by remaining who we are. We cannot do God's vision if I'm not prepared to be displaced. Uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. Uncomfortable. That's when God is at his best. Because then when I'm weak, God can do what God wants to do. It's hard. It's not easy. Because we're all like that. It's not easy to go. You think it was easy to pack Elsie and three teenagers, leave a dying mother, leaving a mother and father only have one son, see ya, and we don't even know if we'll ever see you again after this? Gotta do. What God asks you, what you gotta do. Was it easy? And your dad said, take your stuff, see ya. Get out of Iran. Because this is no place for you, my son. God has another plan for you. And see a young boy, 16, 17, across the mountains. Did all kinds of stuff to get in Europe and land in Canada. And here God brought this young man to Christ. Stood, he said, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a displacement, if there wasn't a downward mobility, if there wasn't a, yes, I'll do that. Then we become who God wants us to be. My life, your life, our lives. Elisha left it. It was interesting the way he leaves. He didn't go kiss his mom and dad, but did you see what he actually did? He burnt that thing that was so important to him to make fire. He slaughtered those oxen, which were so important, and he gave food to the people. And then he left. You know what? 30 years he served Elijah before he became Elisha the prophet. Downward mobility. But it doesn't happen, let me end, in isolation. It happens in community. That's why when Paul speaks of us, he speaks of the body. Because we're not just a lot of heads. Some are heads, some are ears, some are noses, some are hands, some are feet, some are those that you clothe because you don't kind of want to let them run around without clothes. But only in community can we become what God really wants us to be when we work as one. Because in community, I can be held accountable. Being held accountable does not mean pointing fingers. It's having someone to check my blind spot. In community, our diversity becomes our strength. Because if I'm a hammer, everything looks like a nail to me. But sometimes God needs a screwdriver or a pliers. In community, there is strength in our growth. Because in community, one and one does not make two, it makes 11. It's not good math, Josh, but in community, it looks a little different. So here's the thing. If I'm prepared to answer the call, if I'm prepared to listen to God's voice, if I'm prepared as a community to say, Lord, displace us. Lord, take us down, and then you bring your vision. There is nothing, Ash, I'm going to need that video in a second. There is nothing, nothing that we cannot achieve together. So I think there's only one thing left to say. If it'll work. saddle up your horses. Get ready for the ride of your life. Amen. Father God, in a moment we're going to sit at the table. And in this moment, Lord, we're going to listen to this beautiful invitation where you call us to come to the table just as we are. For this is a table, Lord, for those who sit under a broom bush, for those who plow oxen, for those who are needy, for those who have an abundance, for those who are broken, for those who are healed and whole. Thank you for the table. Amen. Our music team is going to sing this invitation as we get the table prepared for communion.